lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a good life it is knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, it's great to have a personal relationship with God. And the way you have that is by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, by trusting Him. And I pray that you have done that today. Well, thank you for joining me once again. And we continue our study today in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. And we'll do our best to get through verses 1 through 9 today. And in our study of 2 Peter, we are going to look at chapter 3. And I believe the objective of studying this chapter, first of all, is to be reminded that there will be scoffers of the promise of the Lord's coming. And also, we are to review the catastrophic events to occur when the Lord returns and the promise of new heavens and a new earth. And we're also to note Peter's estimation of Paul as a brother and his epistles as scripture, and to carefully consider the twofold admonition at the end of the epistle. In other words, the summary. Well, in this final chapter, Peter seeks to stir up his readers by reminding them to give heed to the words of the prophets and apostles of the Lord, especially as it relates to the promise of his coming. He talks about, or in the last days, the scoffers will come who conveniently forget that the word which tells of the judgment day by fire was also the same word which brought about the destruction of the world by the flood. Well, we see in verses 1 through 9, and that's what we see. And when the day of the Lord does come, it will be unexpected, like a thief in the night, according to verses 10 through 13. And we should view the long-suffering of the Lord as opportunity for salvation, even as Paul wrote in his epistles of such things. And we see that in verses 14 through 18 of 2 Peter chapter 3. Well, the scoffers will come, and we've been studying somewhat about these scoffers and these false teachers and prophets. Peter goes on to talk about this, and we pick up our study in 2 Peter 3, and we're going to read now verses 1 through 4. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Well, notice in these verses 1 through 4, of 2 Peter, we see it's written for us to remember, according to verse 1. Well, the words of the prophets, and this would be the Old Testament. And also we see that in verse 2, he talks about the apostles, the things mentioned by the apostles. This would be the New Testament. He says, remember this first, there will be scoffers and mockers. Well, these are those who make fun or ridicule the words of the prophets and the apostles. These are people who make fun of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some people actually tell you you can't read the Old Testament. Well, that's past, they say. And actually, that is false. And that's what Peter is warning us of, warning the people of us and the people here. We must look at the entire scripture, he's saying. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction of what in righteousness. And as we think of that, we also need to think of the fact that the Old Testament is Scripture, that the Old Testament was given by the inspiration of God. And those people who tell you that you cannot go by the Old Testament, the Bible says that they are, you know, the Bible says this about these people, that they are false teachers. They are false prophets. You're not to pay attention to these people. Now, I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm saying that they are false teachers and false prophets. If they are saved, they've been led astray. And once again, they're not helping the cause of Christ. They are hindering it. But we also have those people today who say you can't go by the New Testament. Not only do some say you can't go by the Old Testament, some say you can't go by the New Testament. And these also are false prophets and false teachers. They've gone so far as to write their own Bibles, their own commentaries. Once again, they call it the inspired Word of God, but they're only these things only contain man's thinking. They're not going by the Holy Scriptures. Peter says that these people will come, and they're here now. They're among us as I speak today. Don't listen to them. Listen to what God says. Well, these scoffers spoken of, according to Peter, live in open sin. In Jude 1, actually there's one chapter, verses 17 and 18, and this is what we're going to read, verses 17 and 18. It says this, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts." Well, once again, Jude even speaks about the ungodliness of the last days, how that the false prophets and false teachers would come and they would tell you, forget about the Bible and listen to what I have to say, they would say, and they are saying today. Well, according to the first part of verse 4, it says, "And saying, where is the promise of his coming?" Well, I believe these scoffers declare that nothing has changed since the prophets declared the Lord would come. And I believe these scoffers were actually declaring that the Lord had not even come the first time, not even been born of a virgin that was declared by the Old Testament prophets. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." But we see the first promise of the coming of the Lord in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And you look at the Old Testament sayings here, or the Old Testament accounts of what's going to take place. And this is the first account of the coming. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman." This is talking about Satan and the woman. And it goes on to say, "And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Well, that's, of course, the first promise we have of the coming of the Savior and what's going to happen to Satan. He's going to crush the head of Satan. Well, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Well, some people today will tell you that that is not true, that the world just happened, that things just came about. And I believe you have even preachers today and false prophets and teachers standing in the pulpits today who advocate, well, we can't go against science. That science says the world is billions and millions of years old. There was just a big bang that happened one day and everything came into existence. Well, that's false. The Bible teaches us that God created everything in 6 days. And that will be a study for a later time. Well, notice what John and the other apostles declared about Jesus. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." In John chapter 1, verse 14 tells us who the Word is. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So these same people who say that Jesus is coming, or where is the promise of his coming, they say in verse 4, here in Peter, Peter is saying, they're asking, where is the promise of his coming? And I believe these people are not only saying, well, you know, it's been promised for years that he's coming again. Well, I believe they're saying he didn't come in the first place. Well, the Bible tells us plainly that he did, that he was promised in the Old Testament, and it came about that we see it did happen, and we read further in the New Testament that he was born of a virgin. And then we look into verses 5 through 7 of 2 Peter chapter 3, where it says, for this they willingly are ignorant of. In other words, they don't listen. They're willingly ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Well, Peter is saying here, and I believe, to remember the world was destroyed before. He's giving a warning here, and the scoffers are ignorant. They're without knowledge. They don't want to learn. Why? Well, they purposely or willingly do not study God's word. And we are to study God's word according to what God tells us. Of these people refuse to take God's word for creation. And once again in verse 5, and these are evolutionists. And I've already made reference to them according to the creation of the world, and they make fun of the flood. They say that there was no world flood, that it was just a temporary thing that happened in a certain region. Well, they are saying that there is no judgment, that judgment is not coming. But I guarantee you that one day judgment is coming. The Bible says that these people who are teaching these things, who are unsaved, will stand one day in the presence of Almighty God. And the judge himself, who is Jesus Christ, by the way, he will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. In some of these, we look at that, and if some of these people whom we've been talking about, who are, once again, who are saved, are declaring these things, the Bible says that their works will be burned up, yet they will be saved yet so as by fire. In other words, God's judgment will come upon the unsaved, and his judgment will come upon the saved. Not that the saved will be lost, but they will suffer loss of reward. Well, the Bible says that there are rewards that will be given, and these people who are saved will suffer loss, and these people who are not going by the word of God. It's just, you've heard the old saying that they'll be saved by the skin of their teeth. Well, in other words, they've done everything they can to go against God's word because they're ignorant. And they're blinded by their own lusts and everything. It doesn't mean they're not saved. If they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are saved. But the Bible says judgment is coming for them as well. As we look on 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 9, it says this, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slack, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, some would read into this that the creation once again took thousands of years, but that's not what the Bible is teaching here. It means here that God is not hindered by time. God is not controlled by time. Man looks at time. God does not look at time. When we think of eternity, we think of the future, but we're living in eternity right now. There is no past, present, and future with God. It's all present with him, and we need to understand that as people try to turn things around in the scriptures, we know that they are wrong. God help us to listen to the word of God, stay in the book, grow in his grace and knowledge.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.